Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Iyov Perek Tes, the ninth chapter of the book of Iyov. At this point in time, we are now hearing about Iyov's response to Bildad. Remember, there's a larger dialogue going along. And first, Iyov's friend Eliphaz interjects and lays claims against Iyov. Iyov responds. Then Bildad Ashuhi comes up and presents a number of claims against Iyov. We're now hearing the first half of Iyov's response to Bildad. Our perek consists of 35 psukim and can be divided into roughly three major sections. The first section, part one, is about the global perspective of good. This runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yud Beis. You see, Bildad had argued that Hashem must be perfect in judgment. You, Iyov, by saying that your judgment was not directly from God, are accusing God of not being just. And Iyov responds and says, absolutely the opposite. I also believe, Umnam, Yodati Chichein Umayitztak Enosh Imkel. I know that no human being has the right to wag a finger at God. I know that God is absolutely perfect in judgment. However, he argues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect and will overpower the logic of man, but he runs a very large world. He runs a much bigger enterprise than you and me and our social dramas. There is a hashkocha klodis afoot. There is a larger agenda afoot in creation that needs to be taken care of. The way he really concludes this towards the end of the section in Pasuk Yud is, Oise gedolois ad ein cheker, v'niflois ad ein mispar. Hashem does great things without any fathoming. And we cannot even count the amount of wonders that it takes to run the ecosystems of the world. And he gives examples. So he gives one example. Hama'atik harim v'lo yodu asher hafachom ba'apoy. So he describes an earthquake. He talks about how Hashem, so to speak, will uproot mountains. And he does so in his anger. Hamar gives eretz mimkomo v'amudel yispal lotzun. And he shakes the earth from its place till its pillars quake. What Iyov seems to be suggesting over here is that there's a larger agenda afoot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many mechanisms in place. And sometimes you'll see something which occurs in the world which may seem on the micro scale you don't understand it. But that's simply a part of the larger scale. Meaning, in any natural existing body enterprise system, there's going to be negative, we'll call it the bell curve, the negative sides where not everything is perfect. Why? Because generally speaking, everything is perfect. Sometimes things will excel in the top 2%, or some things will degenerate in the bottom 2%, but generally 66% is going to work out, and that's how nature works. He gives another example. He talks about when it comes to the stars. He says, you know, you can have a star which will disappear, it will explode, but that has lesser consequences for the greater world because the solar system is so big. The solar system is so vast. In fact, at this point in time, the Malbim waxes so poetic about the solar system. It's really quite beautiful, because the psukim themselves certainly do talk about the stars. They talk about various star signs, and the words that are used in the psukim to describe some of these stars are to be found later on when we get to psukim. Tess is an example. It talks about Osh, Ksil, Chima. These refer to different clusters of stars. Ksil refers to Orion. Osh refers to a particular the Ursa Major. And when it comes to Chima, is describing a cluster of stars called Pleiades. What's interesting is that the Malbim goes beyond this. The Malbim living in 1809 to 1879 in the Ukraine was an extremely worldly man, a Renaissance character, and he was able to read and appreciate the literature and the scientific expansion of the time, as he expresses numerous times in his Pirush on Tanakh. Just so beautiful. And he talks about the discovery and the Milky Way galaxy. He describes in his Pirush over here. And he talks about the discovery of Uranus, which was actually very recent, because if you follow the actual astronomy of the time, it was just at this time that William Herschel and his sister were busy extending, doing special panning across the sky and using first their 7-foot telescopes and then 20-foot, and finally, ultimately, as the Astronomer Royal was in England, given the 40-foot telescope, they were able to discover things which had never before been seen, and vastness which had never been conceptualized. That's what the Malbim inserts over here in understanding, in trying to understand what is going on in this Mizmor, in this Perek of Eov. And what Eov is saying is that there's a much bigger world afoot. If there's if there's many casualties to an earthquake, if a star disappears, you know what? It wasn't because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was specifically looking to attack this particular individual, that group of individuals. There's a bigger ecosystem. There's a bigger system afoot, and sometimes there are casualties to ecosystems. And therefore, Eov says, his conclusion is, I don't believe that God is imperfect. God forbid. God is absolutely perfect. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is that he sets up a system which runs well for a majority of the time. And there's going to be minorities of the time too, but that's how things work. And I'm part of that. I'm part of the minority of the times where I'm, in a certain sense, a byproduct. I'm a casualty of a perfect system. The idea of Hashkacha Klalis, the system working, as opposed to Hashkacha Pratis, that every detail. In a certain sense, Eov is actually hinting to the fact that it would be arrogant to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world anthropocentrically around you, and that's how everything runs. No, I understand. I'm part of a bigger system, and in bigger systems, not everybody gets chosen for the team. The second part of this perek runs from Psukim Yud Gimel all the way to Lamed Beis. This is the main part of this perek. And in this section, he addresses some of the other claims that Bildad had. You know, Bildad said that if he just accepts his punishment, his suffering, and with love, and he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will ultimately give him reward for the suffering. And he questions this from numerous angles. In fact, the Malbim sets up that he questions it from 5 different angles as to how this equation can work, and he questions each of them. But the way he starts off is by saying, look, if a king in his unstoppable power decides to exact justice, he decides to torture an innocent subject. What is that subject supposed to do? What, is he going to beg for mercy? I'm going to call him out and I'm going to ask him for chesed. He's not going to listen to me. If that's what the king is doing it for cruelty, it's going to make it worse. So you know what you're going to say? No. Maybe I should fight for judgment. That's where he says in Pasuk Yud. Who's going to bring this to court? Who's going to take the king to court now if he's doing this just for fun? And you know what? Maybe I should claim that I'm innocent. He says, well, he says, in that case, Tomani lo yedan avshi emas b'chayai. I don't even know if I'm really innocent. What recourse to judgment do I have? And therefore he concludes in Pasuk Chof Beis. Achasi, there's really only one solution. Alken amarti tom v'rosha hu mechale. Both the innocent and the evil die together, which means that there's a bigger system afoot. It's not about their specific lives. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is targeting this person, because what recourse would I have to justice? What does it mean you're going to go pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him or fight for it? Where are you going to fight for it? Which court are you going to fight for it? He goes on in Pasuk Chof Gimel Chof Dalet and he says, you know, if you say suffering is a test by which a person merits justice if they pass, it's a test. You need to pass the test and you get through. He says, well, that works if you don't die in a test. He says, well, I've reached the point where there's nothing left. Right? Eretz nitna biyad rasha. How's it working? I don't have anything left in me to be able to do this. Where's the justice? It's all hidden. So Apostle Chofei Chovavi says no. So maybe you say the suffering is necessary work, like the way that an animal needs to get food. So an eagle needs to get its prey, so it has to work really hard and circle for days and days and days till it finds its one catch. So maybe that's what suffering is. He says, but you know what? At least there over there is a correlation between the effort exerted and the end result. Here there's no correlation whatsoever. I'm hurting, hurting, hurting. I'm suffering, suffering, suffering. And there's no way that it adds up to anything in the end of the day. Ah, so you say, Pastor Chof Zayin and Chof Ches. So maybe you say, no, it's going to be paid measure for measure later on. For the measure of pain I went through will be the measure of justice I'll get later on in merit. So, but what happens if I've got a higher threshold of pain? So maybe if I have a higher threshold, then I should just suffer immeasurably then, because I'm not going through enough to be able to get at the end. And then finally, Chof Tesla to Lamed Aleph, he says, you know, so maybe, you know what, Anochi Ersha, Lama Zehevel Iga. So maybe this offering is to avoid future misdemeanor. He says, but does that make sense? I haven't done it yet. How can you call the minority report on me? I've not yet done this. There's no, you can't hurt me so much for something, a misdemeanor, which I haven't done yet. At least let me give me a chance. And finally, the last section of this parak is a very humbling section. The last three psukim, Lamed Beis to Lamed Hay. Very last four psukim. Very, very painful. And this is worthwhile reading this psukim and hearing this. Ki lo ish chamoni enenu, navoi yachto v'mishpat. He says, you know what? I really, at this point in time, I don't know what to say. Literally translated the way he says it is. He says, you know, because Hashem is not man. And one who is as I could say to him, let's come together in judgment. I can't subpoena you, God. There's no final arbiter who can come between us and place his hand on both of us. So nobody's going to say, you know, I'll sit down and I'll listen to the claims here. He goes on to say, all I can ask is, please just remove your rod and your fear would not terrify me. Hashem, please just give me a break. Allow me to survive. And then I would talk and not fear him. But of course it is not so with me. And the way the Rambam explains this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm suffering. I don't understand. I can't claim against you. I have no recourse to justice. There's no one I can claim against you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please stop me suffering. It doesn't make sense. I am innocent in my own eyes. What else can I be doing at this point in time? What a painful, painful speech to hear. This is his closing words of the first half of his speech. We'll continue with the second half of his speech to Bildad, in which he takes on one of the very complicated topics of what's called Yedia and Bechira, how Hashem could know everything and human beings still have free will. That'll conclude his speech, and then we'll hear from his third friend in Perek Yudana. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.